Part two of our Survivor Africa discussion on the all-time top 40 season rankings is sponsored by our friends over at Noon Energy. What would you do if you had more energy? I feel like that I could podcast certainly more seasons of Survivor, no problem. Maybe I'd do all the podcasts all in one day and have the whole rest of my week free. With Noon Energy, anything is possible. Unlock your potential with Noon Energy, a refreshing new alternative to the average energy drink. I have been loving the Noon Energy tablets. I like to pop one in my drink when I'm doing a podcast later on in the day, like I'm doing tonight. And it's so much better than coffee, where I kind of get jittery, get sort of an upset stomach drinking coffee later on in the day. I love popping in a Noon Energy drink, carefully formulated blend of invigorating ingredients to jumpstart your day. Of course, what makes Noon Energy different from every other energy drink that's out there? It's all about the details. First, it's made with only 2 grams of sugar and 4 grams of carbs. Okay, I like that. Clean ingredients, non-GMO, vegan and gluten-free. And it's got caffeine from organic green tea, which I drink anyway, not from a laboratory, with optimized caffeine levels so you feel energized, not jittery, with a high-potency B vitamin for a boost, organic ginseng, which also helps improve my focus. That's why I'm so locked in and on point on all these podcasts. Plus, it's packed with electrolytes to keep me hydrated while I'm doing my thing. Just drop a fizzy tablet to turn your water into a quick pick-me-up. Great for workouts, work days, everything in between, and it's packed in convenient, easy-to-grab tubes, so you can take it with you on any adventure. Available in 4 delicious flavors: Watermelon Burst, Berry Blast Tropical Punch, and Ginger Lime Zing. So discover what Noon Energy can do for you. Visit noon.life/Rob. That's noon.life/Rob, and use code Rob for 20% off your first order. Now let's talk some Survivor Africa. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesperino here. This is part two of our top 40 countdown look at Survivor Africa, the 21st best season of Survivor. If you are just, everybody's just joining us. But if you are confused, we talked about part one of Survivor Africa earlier. That is up in your podcast feed or at robisthewebsite.com. If you missed any of the first part of our discussion of Survivor Africa, where we talked about the season as a whole and the entire pre-merge of Survivor Africa. But here now with me to talk some more about Survivor Africa, talk about the whole post-merge reunion show and your questions, our esteemed panel of Survivor Africa experts, still with us, Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay, how are you?
Doing very well. This is very fun so far. I'm very excited to talk
so far. So good. And then also Haley Strong. Haley, how have you been?
I'm surprised you didn't pull a tribe swap on us and get Kirsten McInnes and Mary Kwiatkowski in to replace me and Lindsay.
To replace you. They'd throw the podcast and vote me out. That'd be very foolish. Very
would
foolish.
You have then like been really mad at us and been like, who voted for me? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although it was pretty obvious who voted for you, I think.
Yeah, in that scenario, for sure. Okay. All right. So we had a lot of fun talking about the pre-merge of Survivor Africa, but let's get into the real nitty-gritty here of what's going to happen in the post-merge game. We've been talking a lot about Clarence, of course, who is going to be on Talking with T-Bird later on this weekend. But Clarence almost went out of the world in a very embarrassing way. The chicken hit differently for Clarence on day 20 and or day 19 here. And he went out to go do his business, and then he ultimately looks up, and there's like an elephant standing around.
Yeah, he says, like, wow, that would have been an embarrassing way to go out.
Yeah. Hang in there, Clarence. Yeah. Look, that he's like very focused in on what he's doing here.
He also told a story in his quarantine questionnaire in which when his mom picked him up from the airport, he had McDonald's and a very similar reaction happened to him. Less elephants this time, though.
And that's interesting, where he had been out of the game for, at that point, you know, 3 weeks.
a great point. I did not think about it.
Yeah. So, okay.
But still probably not back on McDonald's by that point.
Yeah. Not loving it. Okay. All right. We're going to start to get a lot of waiting, Lindsay. Like, Survivor felt like, oh, they're really going to mess with them. They think they're going to merge on day 19. They're going to merge on day 20.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, we're so ready. And Tom makes some comparison with, like, oh, it's like when you're waiting for the bus and the bus doesn't come. And, like, they're just sitting around really thinking that maybe it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to merge. Like, I don't know why the Survivor producers are like, ooh, this will be good television. instead of giving them what they're waiting for, we'll make them wait a day and do nothing.
Let's give Lex time to make an Uber spoon and make a weird scene about it.
Yeah. Lindsay, what's so great about an Uber spoon?
I don't know. Lex seems to think it's good because it's the ultimate spoon. He's really busting out the dad voice here where he's like, do you know what Uber means, Tom? Mm-hmm. It hasn't been invented yet, but it's a ride sharing app.
Yeah. Haley, do you think there's anything wrong with current spoons that the Uber spoon needed to be invented?
I think Lex is overlooking the knife, spoon, fork, which is a really great invention where it's a knife, a spoon, and a fork.
Yes.
All in one.
What's that called?
A knife, spoon, fork.
Knife, spoon, fork. Because of that, I mean, I'm no Frank Garrison, but a spoon and a fork is a spork.
Mm. Sure, but what are you going to call it? A spork? A spork? A spork foot?
Where is the knife part?
Attached to the fork.
Is it on the handle?
No. So I think it's the spoon and the fork aren't together as a traditional spork. But the fork has a little serrated edge, which hurts your mouth. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild. That's wild.
Don't you need the fork to like hold down whatever you're cutting?
Yeah. That's one bridge too far for me. Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
I don't need a Swiss Army knife in my mouth, okay? Yeah. You didn't ask that if you only asked if you could. You didn't ask if you should with the knife, spoon, fork. All right. Let's talk about our great immunity challenge here. Endurance for the Merge Tribe. I really like this aquamarine color, Haley, of the Merge buff.
Beautiful. Beautiful color.
I feel like we never see it again in Survivor.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Underrated color.
This is a really nice color. Anyway. Hold your hand up in the air and then don't let the bucket of water fall on you.
Yeah. Okay. This is one of the ones where, like, when Jeff brings out all the snacks, he actually gives it to the people who are already out of the challenge. He doesn't go for that nonsense.
What's
now.
Up with
Except
that?
For the chicken at the end where he just left it there
in the sun.
Yeah, that really is wild. Like, I noticed that again when I was watching this of like, hey, anybody here want this? Okay. You don't want it? Okay. So I'm going to give it to all these people that are not sitting. Like, it's such an incentive to be out of the challenge and maybe that's what they're going for of like, oh, that'll make more people quit. Oh, you get a bunch of food if you're not in the challenge.
Yeah, they get like a burger and they get the undercooked pizza. They get something else. I feel like there are three things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, do you think the pizza really was undercooked or do you think that Kelly was just trying to make them feel better?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought maybe it was the latter, but then she's like holding up like dough. I don't know. It's pretty gross.
Yeah. Okay. Survivor still struggles with pizza.
It's haven't fixed it.
It's not that hard either.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult to make.
Yeah.
I love when T-Bird sings here also.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So wholesome, that T-Bird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm here for it. I remember this episode, I believe it aired on Thanksgiving in the real time. I was the only loser, like in my like aunt's basement, watching Survivor by himself.
Yeah, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving at the same time as you.
Mm-hmm. But you could imagine,
theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're very young and like, fresh. We don't remember what was going on in October of 2000.
Mm-hmm. This is November.
Notable. Yeah.
Well, no, Thanksgiving is October.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the only musical moments that isn't like cut for copyright things, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, is this public domain?
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't like, you have to probably have to buy the rights to Annie if you're going to put on the show, right?
Mm, I don't know.
Also, Rob got T-Bird to sing this at the end of her Second Chances interview.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was such a appropriate song of that. Okay, well, T-Bird, the best was yet to come for T-Bird. And while I was incorrect that it was going to be her Survivor Second Chances appearance, I guess I was right in her talking with T-Bird Legacy, which was yet to come.
Yeah.
She has a great time.
Such a great time.
Yeah.
She's here for a good time and a long time.
I mean, Haley, I mean, that interview that you mentioned about, like, where I talked to T-Bird about her Second Chances campaign, like, I hadn't talked to T-Bird in, you know, what, 15, 14 years? I don't know, like, what year was that? 2015? So, yeah, 12, 13 years probably since I had talked to her. And then we said it got reconnected.
Yeah. And I just remember that interview so well because it was just so warm and she was just so excited to be talking to you because you could just tell she was such a big fan too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm glad she never lost like any of that sparkle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, she is such a special person that I'm very lucky to have in my life. And she brings like a lot of light into the world, T-Bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, sparkle is such a good word, Haley, where I feel like that's just like the word to characterize T-Bird. She's just so sparkly. So wonderful.
Ultimately, T-Bird, where did you go? 6 hours here, Lindsay?
6 hours with her arm up.
So like, I miss these challenges. I miss where it's just like, stick your arm up, have a great time. Like, I know it's not probably the best TV, but I love it. So who wants it more?
Who wants it more? Exactly.
That's the baseline. Who wants it more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And T-Bird and Clarence ultimately do rock, paper, scissors to determine who's going to give out in the challenge. Do we like this?
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I feel like you came 6 hours. Why are you going to do rock, paper, scissors now?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Clarence is really
going bad in the sun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. True. Clarence is the one really pushing for a deal. Like, T-Bird's just like, no, you're trying to trick me. I don't like it. And then she's not trying to make these same deals. It seems like she's just prepared to stay up there for the rest of her life. Clarence seems much more interested in
Do you think that for Clarence, at that point, it was like, it's a win-win. Either I'm going to get to eat this chicken or I am going to get immunity here. So let's just like cut to the chase here. Let's flip a coin now at this point.
And I don't think he had any reason to think that he was going to get voted out. Like, it seems like a no-brainer that they'd go for the Samburus.
That's a good question to ask him of, did he think that is his name, he was on the chopping block at all?
Yeah, before Lex told him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, congratulations, T-Bird wins the first individual immunity. I think that's going to be her only immunity win or challenge win in the season, but it's a good one. And then we go back and we have a merge feast. Hey, like, kind of a cruddy crappy merge feast.
I have like no recollection of this merge feast. Like, what was there? What happened?
Just like cheese and crackers.
Like, what food was there? Like, I just
yeah, lame merge feast.
Not a thrilling one, that's for sure.
I feel
it's
like
they did get bottles of wine, which they just like each took a swig of and passed it around.
Haley, in fairness, this was pre COVID, yeah.
but it was still after like 20 days of not brushing your teeth.
Yeah, still
the alcohol kills the bacteria.
So I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically like Purell.
You know what? You're right. I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to think of when they get like sort of have like a good merge feast. I don't even know if they had a.
Was there one in Survivor All-Stars, Rob?
I don't know. I don't know. I presume there
was.
Was
there one?
There was. We had a solid merge feast. Yeah. It was felt like hot dogs and hamburgers. Yeah.
A question for you.
Yeah.
Would you rather a nice cold fridge of Coca-Cola or Mountain Dew?
Oh, We didn't even talk about the Mountain Dew reward in the pre-merge, but yeah, I would much rather have a Coca-Cola than a Mountain Dew.
Yeah, great choice.
Yeah.
Mountain Dew is just like, no wonder they all felt terrible.
Yeah. Lindsay, Mountain Dew is featured prominently here in Survivor Africa.
Yeah, and also in Survivor Australia? Australian Outback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that really the last thing they should be giving these Survivor contestants.
Pure sugar, you're going to feel like garbage.
Snickers bar and a Mountain Dew. Well, mm-hmm. I can't imagine a truly worse combo.
Yeah. I think in the Australian Outback, they give them a reward of Doritos and Mountain Dew. Here, yeah. Like the Mountain Dew is like part of like another reward where at least, okay, it's the beverage. Beverage along with like some actual food.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, but a lot
for as hungry as I would be and as much as I enjoy eating, I would really have to approach certain things and be like, no, I'm not doing this. Like the coffee bar reward in Amazon, no, I'm not going with that. Sounds like A, I'm gonna be high on caffeine.
Do you think they had a cronut there?
Yes, I do. Right. And my stomach would die. I would have one sip of coffee and be on the ground,
like Clarence.
Dying. Yes, very much so. Again, I have a weak stomach. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So some of these challenges, like even the what's it called with the money?
Auction.
The auction.
Yeah, the auction. Like Kim Power spending all of her money on an ice cream sundae. As much as I would eat an ice cream sundae, made me want to puke thinking about how empty I would be and having to eat an ice cream sundae.
Yeah. Or Ethan with just the jar of chocolate. Like,
not good. my teeth hurt thinking about it.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
more auction talk to come. Just a little tease of auction talk. We get into a wild game of never have I ever.
Yeah. This is a glorious moment. This is where I actually first wrote down Frank seems like a really tough hang. he's like, so how do you play this game? Like, it has to be something true. And he's like, oh, well, I've never broken the honor of a handshake. And then when he gets the crickets, everybody's like, oh, yeah, no, I respect that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Good job, Frank.
Yeah,
I was scandalized at the idea of airplane intercourse at the age of 10, at the age of 20, and at the age of 30.
Yeah, you go back to it every 10 years.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, still not good. T-Bird says she had sex in an airplane.
What a sly gal.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You don't think that's still happening, do you?
I mean,
that she's. T-Bird is still.
No, 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 no. Anybody. Anybody. I just feel like
it's
still happening.
I mean, you're
not even supposed to take your mask off.
You don't have to take your mask off, Rob.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Incredible. Yeah. People are wilding out. Knock it off, everybody. Get a room.
Oh my God.
And not the airplane lavatory,
not
please.
That's not what it's for. The seatbelt sign on this flight. Knock it off. Yeah.
Masks on, seatbelts on.
Okay.
Bad time head by all.
Yeah. All right. Frank saw an elephant. Haley, did you feel like that the elephant thought Frank was another elephant?
No, I thought the elephant also thought Frank was a tough hag and got out of it.
Like, bye.
Yeah. No brunch? Okay, I'm just gonna...
I'm out.
Yeah.
I heard you guys don't have an ostrich egg anymore. Mm-hmm. Gone.
Yeah.
Do you think an ostrich egg to an elephant is like a regular egg to us?
Mm. Definitely. Mm.
It's a great
Something
question.
Something to mull over.
Yeah. We'll think about it. All right. So, sort of out of nowhere, we just get like word, all right, the vote is going to be Clarence tonight. Lex is going to take him aside and tell him, what's up? Not personal, just the game.
Yeah, Clarence really doesn't push back against this at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I was Clarence, I'd be like, are you punking me, miss? Mm-hmm. Are you punking me? I feel like Clarence took it too well, almost. Mm-hmm. Should have been like, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is going to be a thing that we're going to see consistently from Lex over these next couple of seasons, where Lex does not do a lot of blindsides. In fact, I've watched all two of Lex's seasons. So that's going to be a wrap for Lex here in the top 40 countdown. I'm trying to think if he ever votes somebody out without telling him or her. So in this season, I don't, if he said something to Diane or Jesse, we didn't see it. And I'm not sure if they tipped off Lindsay about what was going on. So in the pre-merge, it's unclear. But I guess he's not going to tell Kelly because she, I guess, has violated like the code of ethics.
He sort of tells her, though. He says, like, something essentially to the effect of, like, our alliance is dissolved or something, which mm-hmm. is what leads to her then going to Kim.
He casts a vote for Frank on the vote where Brandon goes home, but I think that maybe he feels like that Frank deserves it. He seems like he's really soured on Frank. Could be the tough hang.
Did he sweet to Frank?
I don't know. But in Survivor All-Stars, it's going to come up a lot also. I don't think he tells Hatch before. Like, Hatch gets a blindside.
He gets bamboozled.
Yeah, he gets bamboozled. And then I think that he doesn't say anything to Tom, but I think that Tom knew what was up at the end. But so this is a thing that we're going to see a lot. So he's going to tell Clarence what's up. Clarence doesn't really scramble too much, but... Clarence and T-Bird have an arrangement. T-Bird won't write down Clarence's name.
Oh, I was worried about what a kind of arrangement they have.
Nope.
A very innocent one.
Very innocent one to not ever write down Clarence's name.
It's weird, though. Like, I mean, I get that they're trying to say, like, Clarence is going to be an immunity threat down the line and we got to get rid of him. But, like, this feels very risky.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have that much of an edge at this point.
You know what? Just in thinking it through, like, I do think that Clarence was a victim of that. He did not have anybody on Baran who was really vouching for him, where you had like Frank and T-Bird who had sort of like garnered some goodwill. And T-Bird is also immune, but they had garnered some goodwill with Ethan and with Kim Johnson of like you know, working with them and throwing Silas under the bus. So I think that Ethan and Kim Johnson were like, no, try the T-Bird and Frank, they're good. And Lex and Tom just had been at the camp with Brandon and Kim Powers, and they were probably like vouching for them. Like, no, they're good people. We can work with them. And I think that just Clarence really doesn't have like an advocate in his corner of saying like, oh no, we need to keep Clarence around.
Yeah, needed a buddy.
But it sucks because he would have been loyal to them.
Yeah, I mean, where's he going?
Yeah,
you know. It's the same sort of idea, like where, you know, when Lex votes out Colby in Survivor All-Stars, or, you know, right before the merge, where it's like, where's Colby going?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's not like Clarence knew, you know, Frank and, you know, he's been with Frank at T-Burp. It's not like that, you know, he's going to all of a sudden start working with Brandon and Kim Powers.
Yeah, no, it's a weird choice, and obviously the next vote's going to be even more risky. But yeah. Like,
all right, but the damage is done. Okay, two votes here for Lex, and I'm sure more on this with Clarence when we speak with him later on this week. And interesting. Okay, two votes. Haley, Lex is shooketh.
He absolutely loses his mind.
Yeah.
In a way, I'm sorry. I don't think he deserves to get to lose his mind that much. I think he gets to be curious about it.
He will not live with a
snake. Inquisitive.
Yeah.
But he will not. He's truly angry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He cuts off as very entitled here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think it is, Lindsay? Is it that there is sort of like somebody in the, like somebody who has not named themselves who cast a vote, or the fact that now he has two previous votes cast against him?
Yeah, so I think it's a combination of both. Like, what I was thinking when watching this is that this is just like a fancier version of like, who the hell voted for me?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is. I don't even think it's either the two things you said. I think it's like he feels like he shouldn't be voted for because he's like the number one guy in this group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Kelly calls it
of Survivor Africa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Lex was mad?
Just both over your heads, say no Vanderpump Rules fans in the building today.
Yeah.
Just like, mm-hmm, yes, Haley.
Yeah, we only know Vanderberg Pump Rules here.
Oh, no.
So do you think that Lex was mad Clarence voted for him?
I don't think so. He said he kind of gets it. Like, I think he's upset that now he has a vote against him, but he said, like, he kind of understands it. Mm-hmm. But then he says, like, and now this other person chooses to hide. And I just like that Kelly is like, no, this is all ego, and this is just him being pissed that someone voted for him.
Haley, should Lex have been able to suss out that it was T-Bird?
He should have been, but I think T-Bird was pretty good at lying about it.
Mm-hmm. Because the person who did it, like, had to have had some interaction with Clarence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I feel like that you could rule out a couple of the suspects.
Yeah, but again, Lex's gut does not lead him in any good direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird that he never really suspects any of the Samboro people. He just immediately is like, well, I know it wasn't you, and I know it wasn't Frank, mm-hmm. and I, for some reason, know it wasn't Brandon.
Yeah. We don't know what kind of relationship Kelly Goldsmith had with Clarence in the pre-merge. I will say one other thing from the clip show, which is also hilarious. Clarence has a very funny scene in the bonus episode where it's all about Clarence's luxury item. Haley, do you know what it is by any chance?
No.
His luxury item is war paint.
Oh, that makes sense. He was wearing a lot of war paint.
And he wears a lot of war paint. And that there is a running concern among a lot of the players from Baran that Clarence is very vain. And he looks at himself in the mirror and applies his war paint too much.
There's a whole moment where they're like, oh, if this was a woman with makeup, we're like, we'd vote her out. And like, that's not acceptable. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Are you serious? Are you guys punting me?
No, completely serious.
That's truly one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. They also seem to take offense.
Seems like they hate Clarence for another reason. Feels like they're just coming up with reasons to hate on Clarence.
Yeah.
They also did not like that Clarence used the war paint to add definition to his abdominal area.
It's like, that's funny.
He's like drawing on his six pack.
Mm-hmm. I've gone to
extremely defined already. Yeah.
How about Brian Gumbel?
I love that for him.
Brian Gumbel awards Clarence the best six pack ever award at the reunion show.
And he tries to get Kim to do it.
Yeah, she's like, wearing a dress. What are you doing? What is wrong with you, sir?
And we never saw him again.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. All right. But all right, Lex is on the warpath. Who voted for Lex? Brandon has a good line that makes me wish I did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Lex needs to know so he can vote them out next.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Seems absolutely reasonable.
All right. It seems like someone's going to come forward on that basis.
Mm-hmm. We'll get a break from the witch hunt of who voted for Lex. And we get a you know, famous reward challenge here where you have to jump on a plank and basically shoot stuff into a basket. Ethan is going to win. He picks Lex. Maybe that'll calm him down. Lex can go on the reward with Ethan into the town.
Because he came in second, it's my only reason. No other reason.
That's it. That's it. It's the only reason that there is why you pick Lex. And mm-hmm. so, Haley, people give Ethan like a lot of stuff to take with him to the marketplace.
Yeah. Pearl Island's cast wishes they had that kind of stuff to give to.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they did do some bartering with their personal belongings, so sorry about that. I mean, I guess it's like Reebok branded stuff that they just gave you, so it's not like you care that much about it.
Yeah, it's not cold, so sure, take a lot of this stuff. But you know, it's just a lot of pressure.
I do love a trinket, so. Mm-hmm.
blood pressure of like, this is all you got? Gave you my sunglasses.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to keep it all straight, too. Like, this hat wants a bracelet. Yeah. This hat wants something sweet.
As a kid, this seemed like a lot of fun. Like, but as an adult, I would hate to do this and, like, have to barter. Like, I'd rather just go have a good time. Get my plate of fries, go on home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to have to work for my reward. I already worked for it.
Yeah. So they go into town and they flip the goat for some french fries. They call these french fries, Lindsay, but were they made out of potato?
Yeah, they looked more like, because they said at one point they were like, oh, you can get chapati with this, and then it looks kind of like
we have
like
a food
that.
Expert here. Haley, what were these fries? If it's not potato, are they fries?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Because you get yuca fries, and they're not potatoes.
Hmm.
But they're still fries.
Didn't this look like it was like a dough that they were like, looked like sort of like a pancake?
Yeah. Like when they were served, they looked almost like nachos or something. Like it's like a big plate.
What'd you think, Haley?
I thought they were fries.
Mm.
I thought I saw them like throw like strips of things into the oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you thinking it's more of like a spatula?
It looked like they had like a dough that was like a flattened round dough that
you definitely rolled out chapatis, and like they showed that very distinctly.
I wonder if that was like a different thing than they're getting. Like if that was just like B-roll.
Maybe that was somebody else's order.
Yeah, maybe.
At the restaurant. Okay.
Because it definitely looked like fries to me. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fries.
Yeah. After a trip to the little boy's room for Ethan, we have some fun with
again. I buy that happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah.
No other season, I think, explores the bathroom habits of the contestants like Survivor Africa does.
This felt very like overly invasive and kind of intimate to be like, let us go in first and show you what it looks like. And now I'm showing you the door while Ethan's in there.
It's like, Ethan, can you hold on a quick sec while we record this? And he's like, I can't hold on a sec. Mm-hmm. Or do you think they had to go in after? And Ethan's like, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Either way,
will you text him and ask him?
what's the question? What's the question?
Did they do the bathroom strut before or after he went?
I feel like that's more of like, I need to work my way into that one. Yeah. I don't think I can just come in.
You don't have a relationship with him, or you could just text some random questions like that?
Mm-hmm.
You start with, were they real fries? Mm-hmm. And then what did they do to you?
Yes. Great. Yeah.
In the light of day, maybe this is like a better text chain.
Yeah, it's weird at like close to midnight to ask someone about their bathroom experiences.
From 20 years ago. Sure.
20 years ago.
Yeah. All right. So, but Ethan, he's out hanging out with all the kids, doing the hacky sack. Do you think that the kid who has Ethan's hacky sack kept it?
Yeah. No, I mean, he probably doesn't still have it, but I'm sure he played with it for a while.
Like, do you think that young man even knows that this was part of a TV show Survivor, the
Definitely
person
not.
That gave it to him won? Or do you think he threw it away the cool. next day? Yeah.
He left it there that afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this is going to be a very moving experience for Ethan. It's going to be that Ethan will talk about this often when he talks about starting grassroots soccer. So this is going to be like a huge moment, not just in the series, but also in the life of Ethan Zong.
Mm-hmm. Great moment for the winter montage.
Yeah, I was going to wear my grassroots soccer shirt for this panel tonight, but it's packed. Sorry.
I can't believe that was one of your long-term items.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I put it away. So one day I'll be reunited with it. So then we start to see some like, strategery moving back at camp about people talking about trying to make a move. T-Bird, she doesn't stop. She's thinking.
Yeah. She's one of the best strategic players in the early seasons of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she doesn't give up. And they also don't look at her as being like super schemey.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And in the TEOST, Rob, I know you and Josh had mentioned like for the other fifth placers we've had before, we had like Elizabeth and I guess Roger was in fifth and then like Sean and then you got T-Bird. Like she just fought so much harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she did it in a way where it wasn't like that they're like, hey, we have to, like, you know, you see Lex is like, anybody that goes against me has to go. And T-Bird, who is like, at times, like, quite openly, like, working to subvert the Baron side of things, she somehow ends up being the last of the Samburu standing.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, she hangs in there.
Yeah. She wins everybody over constantly, even though she's trying very hard to, you know, upset this whole Baron alliance. So there's some talk about, did Kelly say the words free agent, Haley?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I only remember the brunch conversation.
Yeah. Was that in this? That was, I think, the previous episode, the brunch conversation?
Yeah,
they're,
I think,
all
was
blurring together. I watched all of these in a very short amount of time.
Yes.
They're, yeah, all one episode to me.
Sure. Yeah. If you watch them all at once, is Survivor one episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched this in a short time too, and it really made me empathize with you, Rob. This is a, you watched a lot of Survivor.
20 weeks in a row, Lindsay.
Yeah, 1 week I was like, man, that's a lot of TV to watch.
Yeah, it's a lot.
We have a backlog of shows now.
Sorry about that. I will say though, and I've talked about this, that I do watch at like accelerated speeds. I do think that 1.5x does Survivor Africa is really. Like, that's the stuff. That's the stuff. If you feel like these older seasons are playing a little slow, speed it up a little bit.
Can you give me an impression of T-Bird singing The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow on 1.5 speed?
The sun will come out tomorrow, but bottom dollar that tomorrow, there'll be sun. A little bit faster.
A little faster. Okay, now mouth trumpeted at 1.5.
Oh my God. What a talent.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's complaining about two parts of this? Come on.
No one.
Come on. You're listening to this on 1.5x.
100%.
Yeah. That's really going
to
mess people up now.
I have never listened to a podcast on 1.5x.
That, I mean, if you were listening on 1.5x, what does that make? That was mouth trumpet at like a 2.25x?
Wow. Good math.
Think about it. Yeah. It's a lot going
on. Would it be?
I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm not sure.
50%.
This is like a Big Brother HOH tiebreaker at this point.
Yeah, it's fine. It's faster. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's some talk.
It's
3x. Oh my God.
So like, you're not going 1.5 times 1.5, right?
No, I did 1.5 times 2. So what
we're
going to
get so many Twitter replies.
1.5 to the power.
Yeah, why are we doing that?
It's going to be so annoying. Oh.
I said in the first part, I'm not good at math. So,
yeah,
I was foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Lex insists his gut is good. Brandon is in. Kelly Goldsmith is out of the alliance. And then on top of that, Lindsay, he tells her.
Yeah, no, it makes zero sense. Like, the thing that is the most damning about this, in my opinion, is that like Lex knows he's the only one who has previous votes, and he is now setting himself up perfectly for a 4-4 in the next round, and he's gonna get kicked off in that. So mm-hmm. Like, what is he thinking?
There's so much questions about like, hey, are you 100% loyal to this, to me and this alliance that we made? Like, there's like so many points where it's like, does it matter? Like, especially like with Big Tom, like at the final four, it's like, where is Big Tom going? Why do people need to like have such like a like I demand like your full allegiance at this point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you might have maybe talked to someone about potentially agreeing to vote me out 6 votes ago, and then you didn't, but I'm still mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Baffling.
Yeah. complicated relationships in Survivor Africa. So, T-Bird really got this going, and Kelly is ready to vote against Baran. Brandon is the big swing vote.
Yeah.
And it's like,
also makes no sense.
Here we go, Haley. All right. We're going to see this the biggest move in the history of the show. And then all of a sudden, we get to see a lot of dramatic votes. Lex says, if I'm wrong about you, then I apologize, but I smell a rat and my gut tells me you stabbed me in the back and you're playing both sides. Good riddance. And so Brandon votes for Kelly. Haley's shaking her head.
He just wasn't thinking long term, I feel like, or maybe he thought he was thinking long term, but he wasn't actually like understanding his place in in that alliance.
Yeah, well, I think that Lex promised him final four and said, okay, you'll go to the four with me and Tom and Ethan. And he felt like that was pretty good. Didn't want to work with Frank.
Yeah, like Lex specifically says, like, I told Brandon he was number five in our alliance, like that he would be the fifth person. It's like, okay, he's telling you you're going to be fifth. Like, that's not good.
Can we talk about, hypothetically, Brandon votes out Lex here. Okay. Mm-hmm. First off, is Lex still a Survivor All-Star?
No.
No.
You don't think so? I think he still might make it.
Well, Ethan's going to come back probably. And Tom's definitely coming back. And I don't know.
Maybe Brandon comes back.
Okay. Well, is Ethan still going to win?
Or maybe T-Bird comes back.
Yeah.
I don't know if Ethan wins, but then I think, because then you have the five, but then I think the alliances are going to swap a little bit more, because then I think there will be the two factions again. I think T-Bird and Frank will try and pull in like Kim Johnson or Tom or whatever, and then kind of overlap them anyway. So,
well, do they need to? So now you have a 5-person alliance of Brandon, Frank, T-Bird, Kelly, and Kim Powers. Do they just pagong? Is it basically like Marquesas a season early, where then this group of five basically pagongs Lex, Ethan, Tom, and Kim Johnson and becomes the final five?
I think Teresa knows that Brandon and Kim Powers are never going to truly be on her side. Like, I think they pick Kelly over Frank and T-Bird. So they need somebody else to get them back.
Yeah, they might keep Ethan because T-Bird seems to really like him.
I think it would be a more interesting back half of the merch.
Yeah. It does get a little predictable there at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would flip-flop a lot more, but I don't think...
But it would be Marquesas, totally that, where it's
those
like...
five.
You know, the solid alliance of four gets taken out at the final nine by an upstart group of five, and then basically then has to figure out their own five when they get down to the end. One season early for that fan fiction to come true. So... Kelly voted out. Gone too soon. She's really good. She's very cutting in the confessionals. Lindsay, should Kelly Goldsmith have been an all-star?
I think so. I think she certainly should have at least been considered, like, maybe for second chance or something. How old is she now? Like, I feel like it wouldn't have been that wild to bring her back.
Kelly Goldsmith, I would imagine she's probably in her early 40s. She is 42.
Yeah, I think like
that's a very spry age.
Yes, exactly. So young.
She's
and
still
youthful.
16 Viral, years younger yes. than Kim Johnson was when she went on.
Yeah.
I think like she certainly did more stuff than like Amber.
Well, she talked about in the finale about how that she wanted to be a different type of woman on the show. When they cast for Survivor All-Stars, they clearly said, like, listen, Kelly Goldsmith, we know what we like. Yeah. We know what works around here.
Yeah.
You leave the thinking to us on the casting. But in fairness, they did hire her to work in casting after Survivor All-Stars. And she did cast a lot of the people for Survivor Vanuatu that we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
I don't think I knew that.
It's all coming up.
And then she stopped watching because Brooks went out first on Vanuatu.
Brooks singular, yeah.
And she had cast him and she was too upset, so she stopped watching.
She cast a few, I think she cast Brady also. But I think she might have had one or two good people on that season also. She did a lot of work on Survivor Vanuatu. Lindsay, you have so many Talking with T-Birds to listen to hear all these great stories.
Definitely the early ones, I missed a lot of those, but then I've caught up on the more recent ones.
Okay. Good save. All right. So afterwards, there's a lot of questions about like, hey, what's with Brandon? That I feel like that this is a little bit sort of like a little middle school Haley where Ethan and Big Tom don't like Lex has a new friend.
Yeah, I very much like
that. We don't like him. Lex is like, hey, he saved our skin. You got to be nice to him. Let him sit at our table.
It's very much like Lex is entitled to be like, well, he's my friend. Like, we have to. Mm-hmm. You have to be friends with him because he's my friend.
Mm-hmm. And they don't like him.
But if Ethan brought a new friend, his new friend Frank, to the party, that wouldn't be happening.
Yeah, Ethan doesn't make new friends, really. Like, I think that Big Tom and Lex are sort of, like, involved in, like, this battle with, like, moving, like, different pawns on the board. But Ethan doesn't really play that game.
Was Ethan close with anyone from the season after? Like, did he go to Tom's farm with Lex and
I mean he's famously very tight with Lex and Tom, and I think that, you know, that those are the people that he was really tight with. I mean, he was very tight with Kim Johnson, I think, also out there, but I don't know if there's anybody really from the other tribe that he's especially close with.
But even like, say, like 2 years after the season, like, did he still hang out with some of those people?
I mean, I think that him and Lex and Tom have stayed very close over the years, but I don't know if there's anybody else from the rest of the season that he talks to regularly.
Yeah, I think on Lex's questionnaire, he said something about like he still talks to Ethan pretty regularly, but he said he talks to Tom like multiple times a week.
Which is hard because somebody's had a conversation with Big Tom, you don't always know what he's saying.
To listen really carefully.
You got to be really careful. Yeah.
Am I making it up? Did Johnny Fairplay have a show on Big Tom's farm?
No. That Lex, I believe, worked with Big Tom, and they produced a couple of episodes of a reality series about life on Big Tom's farm, and it was something Family called Beef. Family Beef. Yeah.
Yeah. Yikes.
Something like that. Yeah. You know, Big Tom's a colorful character. Bucky Bo, also, you know, a lot going on there.
Did Bo, like, why do I know Bo? Did he come for the family challenge on All Stars?
Yes, he shows up for Survivor All Stars. And then famously, Boston Rob said that he was, I forget what disparaging name he called him, like his dad. Yeah.
Were they ever in casting for like Blood versus Water?
I don't know if Tom and Bucky Bo were people that I know they talked to a million people for Blood versus Water season, but I don't know if Tom and Bo were in the mix.
I think I've read on the Survivor Wiki, for whatever it's worth, I think I read that Lex and his son were considered for it, but that they were doing the Family Beef thing, so they didn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like there was an opportunity that was passed up in exchange for the very successful alternate reality show, Family Beef.
Yeah. All right. So we got to figure out where Brandon is in all of this. And so suddenly we look up and we see that two people from Baran had been voted out right at the merge. And so there is this possibility of, you know, people could... they get the gang back together.
Yeah, reunite the band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like, it's shocking that they don't. Like, it would just be so easy to get Lex out of here. I mean, he wins immunity, but in theory.
Yeah.
It would be easy if only,
only he'd been eligible to vote for.
But I mean, that you could have cast it on anybody, Kim Johnson. And then also here, we get the reward, famously, where Frank and Brandon go on the reward together. Well, we didn't mention the Brandon shooting the arrow, which I feel like is also a famous moment in the season in the pre-merge. Brandon and Frank going to the movie theater together. Is this still as funny 20 years later?
No.
No, it's almost like I just feel like I remember there being like more charm to it and and more like coming together. Like Frank's like, I really do appreciate Brandon, but like that never happened. Like,
no,
it was very much like, I'm just here with him and I have to sit beside him and I don't like his lifestyle and oh, he's lazy and I'm just not paying attention to him while I'm watching this great cinematic masterpiece and eating my M&M.
Yeah. Yeah, they really thought that this was like the most hilarious thing that ever happened. Frank and Brandon.
Yeah, having to watch a movie sounds like a punishment more than a reward.
Especially out of Africa.
Any movie?
Pretty much. Unless it was like Notting Hill. I don't want to be there.
Yes. What, you're anti-movie, Haley?
Just like they're just not for me.
I'm not a big movie person either.
Too long.
Is this an anti-movie also, panel? Like,
but also, like, not long enough at the same time. Like, yeah. I don't get...
Movies are too long. We like Survivor seasons that we can watch in one sitting.
Survivor in one go.
That's different because you get, like, story. Like, movies, it's just like, I'm over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's never a commercial break during a movie where I can go to the bathroom.
I was laughing when Big Tom was talking about Frank's reaction to the movie about how that Frank was upset that it wasn't an army movie and nobody was getting killed in the movie. No shooting.
I like that too.
Yeah. So all right. I think that the movie is a good reward, though, because there's a lot of time to eat the snacks, Haley. I feel like a lot of the survivors make themselves sick because they feel like, oh, I only got like 10 minutes to eat all this.
That's a good point.
It was almost like they had a tailgate.
I can eat snacks in silence for 2 hours.
Yeah. You don't even have to watch the movie. Yeah. It was like,
I want to watch that movie.
Yeah. There was like a pregame, and then Jeff's like, and then when it gets dark, then we're gonna start the movie. Like, oh, great, I got like 4 hours of snack time here. Put
it
on
again.
Is there
a fountain pop machine?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'd want.
Yeah. And so it's amazing, though, especially when we're talking about this potential 4-4 group coming back together. Lindsay, it's almost like had T-Bird been at the reward, and T-Bird loves popcorn. Everybody knows this.
Famously, okay? Yes.
If T-Bird had been like, all right, Frank and Brandon, you get to pick one person. All right, pick T-Bird. All right. Could she have maybe gotten them on the same page of like, guys, come on?
Yeah, I think there's probably something to that of like, if she could persuade Brandon and like, if anyone could, probably T-Bird could like, do this for me. I understand that you don't want to hang out with Frank, but like just this one vote,
Although,
do this for me.
You know, as we're talking it through, Lex is going to win the immunity. And is there anybody else from Baran that has previous votes? No, right?
No.
So they have the cheat code in that. Does anybody else from...
No,
Samburu.
Everybody else is good too, right? Everybody says zero right now.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So we go to the nature guide.
Yeah.
Put Big Tom on. Vote for Big Tom.
And that's what their plan was back at Samburu when they were thinking that Brandon was going to get the votes. They were like, well, we'll vote for Tom. Brandon can beat Tom. And then we have the numbers back.
Yeah. Boy, Haley, I'm so into this previous vote tiebreaker.
I know. We've talked you back into it, haven't we?
Talked me back into it. Yeah. I was like, it's not sophisticated. No, bring it back. We love it.
Honestly, can you text Jeff right now and say for season 42?
Do you have Jeff Probst's cell phone number?
Don't you?
I don't know.
No.
You have somebody's cell phone number who has somebody's cell phone number who has Jeff Probst's cell phone number.
Interesting. But who?
I don't even have your cell phone number, Robin. We've been friends for almost a decade.
Is that true?
Scroll your contacts.
Yeah, for real. Okay, I'll put it in the private comments. So, yeah, is that for real? I don't know if my phone texts Canada.
You,
yeah, yeah, I guess not. Oh my god!
Anytime I email you, like, hey Rob,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had to text shame me on a podcast. Yeah.
You can cut that out if you want.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll leave it. That's fine. We're having fun.
It's fine.
Yeah. You're not going to be mad at me after this, are you?
Definitely not.
Well, you're not going to get a text about it.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right. So ultimately, yeah, we're going to go to this tribal council and, you know, Lex will not get on the same page as Ethan and Tom. And they're all going to get together and vote out Brandon.
What a dingus, man. Like, I'm getting worked up because, like,
about which part?
Because Lex thinks that he's playing a different version of Survivor than everyone else because mm-hmm. he's Lex.
Yeah.
And everyone should just do exactly what he wants. And it's making me a little mad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the thing that JT does too, right? And Token Teens, when he's like, no, I'm not going to vote for Coach. And like, Steven gets mad about that, I think.
Yeah.
Am I remembering that correctly?
The team. Like, we all have to make concessions here.
Yeah. The concessions were at the movie.
Yeah, play into the cherry of the thing. That's good.
I do love when Kim Johnson says about, look, anybody that tried to jump ship too early, they got gooned.
Should we bring Goon back along with the previous votes?
Well, let me ask Haley, is getting gooned, is that a hockey term? Is that like the goon on the hockey team got you?
I mean, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Do I look like I've played hockey?
No, but...
I have all of my teeth.
Yeah. I don't think you play hockey, but I feel like that you're a Canadian sports fan.
I think it was very fair to assume that of the two of us, you would be the one to ask, Haley.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much more of a baseball gal than a hockey gal.
Okay. Wait, Lindsay, do you know about goons?
I know nothing about sports.
There's
at
the movie.
All.
You said that you know soccer.
I know soccer. I mean, I played like whatever grade I was in when I was 11. Like I was on the blue team or something.
The famous blue team.
Yeah, it's not like I was like, oh, I'm playing varsity.
The rich history of the blue team.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I know nothing.
But I do think that this gets interesting, where it's like, okay, well, now Lex has like lost out in this power struggle for the first time in his group of three, and really now it feels like that Big Tom has some power, because I feel like that when we're talking about like the moving the pawns around, like I feel like that T-Bird and Frank, they are with Big Tom perhaps more so than Ethan.
Certainly Frank, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And T-Bird will go wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because seems like Big Tom doesn't love Brandon either.
Oh, I wonder why.
Yeah. I mean, there's a very uncomfortable scene that's also in the clip show where, you know, Big Tom is asking Brandon if he's gay.
Yeah. Plays a lot like the Rob in Marquesas with John Carroll. Like, this doesn't feel as threatening, maybe.
Yeah,
but it's like definitely tough. Like, it's not a good look.
I did think it seemed more like it was coming from a place of curiosity, in that Big Tom has never met a gay person before, and Brandon's like, I bet you have. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he like really is tripping over his words, and then he says, like, he's kind of saying, like, I knew the minute I looked at you, and then he's like, oh, I probably shouldn't be saying this, and kind of starts tripping over his words, and then goes, like, are you gay?
Yeah, I think that the biggest problem with a lot of that is just that it's like, well, like I wouldn't choose that lifestyle, like, which sort of like denotes that there's a choice there, that he is picking this. And again, it's 20 years ago. Like, hopefully, you know, people, even Big Tom, like are a lot smarter about these things. But
hopefully.
You know, the good and the bad of watching 20-year-old TV shows. So. All right, then. So Brandon ends up going out after Lex is really like soured on Frank. Very, very soon. Like, Haley, did we see anything on the screen that explained why Lex is so down on Frank all of a sudden?
I feel like that's a thing that happens this season in general, is that we're missing a lot of context throughout. Mm-hmm. Some people's opinions and decisions.
Yeah.
So I don't think we got any here. And I feel like there's like some other moments where we're not getting really why the background and why people are saying things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah, ultimately, yeah, Lex votes for Frank and he says, Frank, you've been nothing but rude, grouchy, and a poor sport. In the last few days, you've been insufferable. Bottom line, you're a real downer, and I can't wait to see you go. Bye-bye.
There's a weird thing in this episode and in the one before where they show the swing vote, like, up front. Like, the last time they show Brandon voting for Kelly, and this time they show Kim voting for Brandon. It's very odd.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the Kim voting for Brandon thing is interesting in that it was like, you know, Kim doesn't really have much of a storyline throughout the season.
Yeah.
And this is like a big thing for her where she, like, that was her friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very betrayed.
The Samburu 4, really nobody comes away from this you know, for the same four people that are making necklaces for each other, like, nobody goes out sour with Silas out of that group, but Brandon is like, Lindsay, I'm glad she's gone, and then you know, Kim is like, I Brandon, I like, I don't like you anymore.
Not an enduring friendship.
They didn't stay best friends. Okay. We'll be right back with Haley and Lindsay to talk some more about Survivor Africa in just a moment. But let me thank our sponsors, our friends over at Legacy Box. It's a super simple mail-in service to have your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures digitally preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. Let's face it, your family probably has a stack of videotapes, maybe near the television, maybe in the garage, that are only playable with devices that may not work. You don't have power cords for. How many people have a working VCR at their house? Probably not many. Well, you could do what I did, and that is order up a Legacy Box where you can have all of your family's memories that you may not have watched in many years digitally preserved so you could be passed down to future generations. That I did a Legacy Box order for my mom for Christmas last year, and it's one of the most thoughtful gifts that she's ever gotten from me. That's those were her words. The process is so easy from start to finish. They are going to send you a Legacy Box package. You're going to load in all of your family's media into the secured Legacy Box crate and then send it over, and they're going to email you every step of the way, and you're going to get back perfectly preserved digital copies on a thumb drive, a DVD, or hosted in the cloud. And they're going to get you those email updates to tell you every step of the process. That's why Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer of home movies and photos. They've helped over 1 million families digitally preserve their past. Rediscover some of those glory days by digitizing these irreplaceable heirlooms with Legacy Box. It's going to be a big hit for moms, dads, grandparents too. Get them a gift that they'll never forget for a limited time. Legacy Box is offering a 50% off special. Order your Legacy Box today to take advantage of this incredible offer. It's one of the best discounts that they've offered. Legacy Box is perfect for you or someone you love. Go to legacybox.com/Rob and save 50% while supplies last. That's legacybox.com/Rob. And we'll be back in 30 more seconds after I just thank our friends at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. I bet it's hard work, but you know, it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Now back to Survivor Africa. A lot of camp life also in Survivor Africa, talking about how the difference between the mush and the gruel. Haley, would you rather
die?
Mean mush or gruel?
I can't with those. I can't.
The part that really got me. The part that really got me is when they talk about like that they eat the corn kernels, but they like break their teeth. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good.
I would have died. It was like milky corn soup.
Oh, so
yeah.
Gross.
Chalky, I think, was a adjective they used also.
And the gruel, like I think the texture would just make me puke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These survivors had it really, really bad.
I'd be just eating the sticks off the enclosure.
This was a really hard season.
It's brutal.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not even like they could fish. They couldn't swim. They couldn't cool down. They couldn't go get a coconut. They couldn't use what was around
them.
There
was nothing. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like in the next season, they're going to say like, it's the fewest provisions we've ever given them. They'll be starting with zero food, but like at least they can gather stuff and they just don't have that option here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like they're sick of coconut by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But all right. How about the auction? Let's do it. Auction time, Haley.
So this was when the auction was still fun.
Yeah.
Did it become not fun?
Of course it did. It became not fun when people started holding on to their money in hopes of an advantage. It was, you know, It was fun that there was covered things and you don't know if it was going to be good or bad, but it was still a good time.
Yeah.
Liked that they could combine their money and, you know, share things. I loved the side auction. It was like, I'll give you $11,000 for a piece of chicken.
Yeah. Lindsay, that Jeff is going to shut down people pooling their money together in some of the future auctions. I'm not sure if we see it again. I think in Guatemala, I think people were pooling their money together in the seasons that I've watched. But I do think it reveals a lot about the like interpersonal dynamics of what's going on when people pool their money.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I think in other seasons, it's like you can pool money and you don't have to share it or something. Whereas here it was like, you can't share unless you all give money. But yeah, for sure. Like you can definitely see here where it's like, okay, Tom and Ethan are bidding on stuff together. Maybe they're a pair. And like T-Bird and Frank are obviously a pair. And in this case, I think it was like Kim and Lex were working a little bit together.
Yeah.
And then Lex even says like, Kim Powers is kind of on her own.
Yeah. I felt bad for Kim Powers when Big Tom was bidding against her for that Sunday, Haley.
So rude. Mm-hmm. I would have just given up and made Big Tom like pay so much money for a Sunday that he didn't want.
Yeah. Do you feel like Big Tom didn't want the Sunday or he was sort of indifferent?
I think he was he would have been happy to eat it, but I think he was just trying to screw over Kim.
You think so? He was just trying to raise the price.
Because Ethan keeps jacking the price up and then Tom goes like, no, I can't do it that way. But like once it's been,
I feel like Ethan was into it because Ethan does pay 5,000 shillings for just the vat of chocolate syrup.
So gross.
It is so gross.
Do you think that syrup's hot? Like,
yeah, Ethan said it was hot.
Yeah, it's super hot.
And it, like, could you imagine like like 110 degrees in Kenya and it's like, oh, let me eat this vat of hot fudge.
So gross. After you've eaten nothing.
It's going out the same way it's going in.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I love so when...
Sorry. Not to put too fine a point on it.
I loved when T-Bird got the hoagie, which was good enough to make you want to slap your mama.
Oh my God. Incredible.
That sandwich looked unbelievable. If I was looking for a reward and I want food, I think that's what I'd want with a nice cold glass of Coke.
Yeah. Have you ever eaten anything good enough to make you want to slap a parent?
No, I don't slap people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be furious if one of my children slapped me.
I'm sorry.
Like, what's that for? So this hoagie.
I do have a seasoning called Slap Your Mama.
Yeah.
I think it's a Southern expression if I had to take a wild stab in the dark.
Yeah. What was on the hoagie, Haley?
It looked like a meatball sub.
Meatball sub. Okay. That's good.
It looked really, really good. Now I want a meatball sub.
But you can't talk about the Survivor Africa auction without the coup de grace where Ethan and Big Tom pool their money for a big breakfast platter. And Big Tom celebrates that Ethan, who is Jewish, cannot eat the pork or cannot eat the ham and celebrates.
Yeah. another Big Tom moment that hasn't necessarily aged the best. Yeah. I remember this being very funny at the time.
It was very funny. Ethan talks about that, that him and Tom have that kind of rapport back and forth. I just to this day, I'm very surprised that Big Tom like knew the rules of I feel like there's many things he doesn't know. Somehow he knew.
Ethan's name, but he knows that pork is not kosher.
Knew it instantly.
Yeah, true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
He does apologize afterwards.
Yeah, he apologized. So that was good. But that is a famous moment. Yeah, and then ultimately after that we get a little bit of these character scenes and a little bit about how is Tom smarter than he lets on?
Yeah, the checkers shark or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I definitely think that Big Tom is. I think that he's sort of like that. There are certain things about the world he's definitely not the ultimate resource about. But there are other ways where, I think he wants you to like think that he is more of a country bumpkin than he might be.
Yeah, I think it's probably smart strategy, right? Have people underestimate you.
Yeah. We also then went from that to talking about how Big Tom is very eager to help the women with some of the bathing issues that are going on.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. He works as a shower for the team.
Mm-hmm.
It was an offer, of course, he made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this comes up a few times over the course of the season. Also, Big Tom is very involved in the tick business with Lindsay also earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Lex who says, like, Tom gets away with murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about the immunity challenge here. We get to hear a horrible story, Lindsay.
Truly horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the details of circumcision.
Yeah.
It just kept getting worse somehow.
Yeah, don't flinch.
It did keep getting a lot worse.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, like, did they have any other stories they could have told?
I have to think so. Like, which one is going to upset people the most so they might forget the details?
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they were allowed to say circumcision on television 20 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a medical procedure.
Yeah,
I guess.
As the story goes, Samburu warrior has an that has an adult circumcision after like a sort of like a vision quest, and if he flinches in any way, his family is shamed forever. Could you imagine then where it's like you're part of the shamed family? Like, I feel like I'd be like, come on. he flinched a little bit. Come on.
Who among us?
Yeah. I mean, it was like a little flinch. It's an brutal. Adult circumcision. Come on. Okay.
And the poor wives who just have to like keep having kids until there's a son, like, blah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on there. Yeah. So we got Lex wins the challenge, and then we come back, and then it's a lot of like Frank stuff. We go all in on Frank.
It felt like his boot was coming a mile away, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of that here in the back half of the post-merge where it's like we spend a lot of time on the camp life, a lot of time on like little character things. And then after the challenge, they just bury somebody.
Yeah, I like how Frank starts this off where he's like, I was in a good mood. Like, good morning, Ethan. How are you?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, what's going on with Frank? Why is he being nice to us?
Yeah. And then a lot of gun talk, a lot of Frank's politics. And then T-Bird's like trying to get Frank to change the subject.
Yeah.
And Ethan just sits there like this.
Yeah, nobody's asking for this.
No, I think Frank being in the NRA is like mentioned multiple times in his bio, the Survivor Wiki. Like, he just really leads with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so ultimately, it's going to be Frank. That T-Bird even votes for Frank here.
She's weeping openly as she does so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've talked about this a couple times in the last few weeks on the countdown of people that, you know, vote for their allies, where we see Chris votes for Sarge 2 weeks ago. Sepia votes for Boston Rob at the merge. T-Bird is going to throw her lot in with this group and cast a vote not against Frank. The vote for Frank.
It's an important distinction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that maybe this was like her vote for who should win.
Yes, maybe.
Okay. All right. So we're going to get to a episode where we get to see everybody's family. Family. Yeah. We get to do like sort of like a newlywed game with families.
This was fun. I like this. I felt bad that they had to see them on like videotape.
Yeah. Oh, so is that what they did? It was like they paused the video?
Probably.
Yeah, it seemed like it.
Oh, that's wild. You know, in my head, I'm like, oh, they're on Zoom. But I'm like, oh, no, they're not. So it's like they asked them the questions, and then what, they edited the videotape together, and then it's like, all right, let's play the next one.
I can only imagine.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
2001, am I right?
Yeah. Blew my mind just now. Yeah. We got to learn about a lot of embarrassing stories from the survivors.
It was devastating to me that T-Bird had to answer things like, what's your biggest regret? What's your most embarrassing moment? And then Jeff told her she couldn't participate in the question of like, what are you most proud of?
Mm-hmm.
She had to have all of like the bad questions. And mm-hmm. then Jeff's like, no, you don't get to, you know, be good at stuff.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that jumped out to me is the story about Ethan and the curling iron. Lindsay, am I to believe that Ethan doesn't have naturally curly hair?
That's a good point. I didn't think about that at all. He must have naturally curly hair, given how his hair looks.
What the hell is Ethan doing with a curling iron?
Yeah, maybe he's like trying to make it more intentionally curled in a certain way. I don't know.
I mean,
sometimes I curl my hair with my straightener, so maybe he's straightening his hair with his curler.
Whoa, game changer. Curls it back in the opposite direction.
Is he like going for bigger curls, maybe? Is it like is he have very tight curls and he wants
or
looser
maybe like
curls?
A defined curl?
Yeah. Maybe.
And
out of the looser ones.
Yeah. What happened with the curling iron? He burnt himself?
Got stuck in his hair and he had to cut it out.
Oh, that's a shame.
Before prom of all times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so we had a lot of vomit stories, which we know that Ethan does not care for.
Yeah, Ethan and I share that. Is also my answer to what is your biggest fear? So this is another point of connection for me and my one true love, Ethan's on.
Yeah. Haley, we have a wild story about Big Tom and his underwear and guests at the house.
I was upset.
Yeah.
I'm not as upset as I was when his wife said, oh, I've just been riding this stud around because I haven't had one at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Incredible. Truly incredible line.
And then I think in that moment, everyone in the tribe was like, oh, this all makes so much sense mm-hmm. now.
Yeah. So ultimately, Lex is going to win. He's going to go on this reward with Big Tom. Anything else from the family of a newlywed game?
Yeah, I wanted to yell yawn every time somebody's like, proudest moment or proudest thing was their kids. I was
so easy.
Yawn. Yeah.
So easy.
Really gives them an advantage. It's mm-hmm. like your parents don't necessarily know what your like biggest achievement was, but if you have kids, it's just like a real gimme answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So they go on this sprawling adventure across the Garden of Eden, not Gabon, but they're going to go to is this like a preserve? Yeah.
Masai Mara. So I have been there.
You've been there?
Yeah. So in 2011, I did my field research for my grad, my undergrad in Kenya, and we went on safari in Masai Mara.
Yes. Okay.
So 10 years ago.
Now, did you get a lot of hard alcohol?
That's what actually what they give you right when you get there. They're like, here's your free bottle.
Did you have Jeff Probst's credit card?
I wish. I might have improved the accommodations.
Yeah. So, yeah, they get so wasted. I mean, especially Big Tom. Lex seems like he just like some a few drinks.
He has to be like poured into bed.
Yeah. Big Tom, he's a drinker.
I would have been concerned. I would have made sure if I were Lex, I would have made sure Tom was in like the correct position.
Yeah, he says like, Tom, just do one thing for me, okay? If you're gonna throw up, just like leave the thing.
It's like, no, Tom's not even turning over if he's throwing up.
Yeah, like, has that ever worked? It's like, yeah, all right, I was gonna puke in my bed.
No problem.
Was gonna throw up in the bed. I'm gonna go out for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Go on the balloon ride. They get to see a lion eat a wildebeest.
Yeah, but we also skipped over the moment where Tom says, like, Lex is like, I've never had a beer with a mustache before. And then Tom's like, I've never had a beer with a hippo before. Like, I aspire to be that funny, even when sober. It's very clever.
That was good. I like the hot air balloon driver.
Yeah.
Like the
like
guy.
Too distracted.
He was good. I thought that that was an awkward high five after the lion killed the wildebeest, Haley.
I was upset. I was like, I know that this is nature and it has to happen, but I don't know why I had to see it.
High five. Yeah. All right. So they have a great time. Everybody is very bored back at the
including
camp.
You by the sounds of this, maybe, Rob. Did you hate this?
No, it's fine. It was not. I mean, this was better this time than the last time I watched it, where I was watching it like I couldn't really see what was going on as well.
Not true. And also he didn't have it on 1.5.
Was Tom still plastered in the hot air balloon?
I think he got up and started drinking again.
Yeah, he said he felt, I think he said something to the effect of like being hungover. He said his head felt huge or something. And then he just drank a bunch of water and he's like, and then I was good to go.
Yeah. So, Lindsay, do you feel like I skipped over anything in the on the hot air balloon ride?
No, this is fine. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, back at the camp, they're talking about what corn they don't want to eat anymore. They're making playing cards.
From Kim Powers.
Yeah. And then basically Kim Powers is going to go home.
Yeah, she's super invisible this episode.
Yeah, she doesn't really get a lot. Why don't they vote out T-Bird?
Because I like her.
I guess so. I mean, she's more of the troublemaker than Kim Powers ever was.
Yeah, but I don't think they think that she is.
Yeah. I mean, even in this episode, they're like, hey, let's vote all women.
Yeah. Yeah, they just seem to be very fond of T-Bird. They just don't.
I mean, I can't blame them. I am too.
You wouldn't be. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they're like, hey, like we could do all women's thing because again, it's the issue is you could force the tie there. Who has immunity? Is Lex won immunity again here? No, Big Tom has won. So Big Tom wins immunity. They could do three votes on Lex.
Yeah, good point. I completely forgot that Tom won an immunity this season.
Yeah, he wins like the not a slingshot, but basically that sort of thing.
A throwing hammer.
Yeah, throwing the hammer. All right, so we get down to the final five. And this is when T-Bird is going to start to pull out the stops and basically going to try to tell everybody about what was really going on with that vote back at the merge. But first, an elephant has pooped in the water.
Elephant dung.
More poop. Yeah. There's an look at this. Look how valuable this elephant dung is. This is a fortune in elephant dung. You know how well this burns?
Collect what can you do with it?
Are there berries? Yeah. Okay. So they get letters also from the family members, but we also we get the reward challenge, which turns out to be for the car. Lex wins it and then goes and delivers goods to the hospital that does a lot of work with AIDS patients in Africa. And one of the things that I really noticed in the season is that I feel like that. You know, not only do we have the visit to the village when Lex and Ethan go and sell the goat, but also we get this reward where Lex delivers the supplies to the hospital, which is going to be like a staple across a lot of different seasons where we see them deliver goods to schools and all sorts of different native places that the seasons travel to. And I just think that this is the birth of that.
Yeah, I remember reading in the quarantine questionnaire thing, T-Bird says that her biggest regret from the whole season is that she didn't ask if she could go on this reward. Mm-hmm. And that would have been so great. Like, they probably would have let her go.
She didn't even tell Lex, and T-Bird, her brother, had passed away from AIDS, mm-hmm. and that she hadn't brought up that fact, but she had seen afterwards where these supplies were going, and she was very mm-hmm. Very touched by that.
Yeah.
And Lex certainly would have taken her if you would have known. Oh, actually, I don't know. I don't think he was allowed that he didn't get the choice.
He didn't get an option, but she said she wished she just would have asked Jeff to be able to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think they definitely would have let her go.
Yeah,
it would have
been a great moment.
Yeah. All right. Tom and Ethan are talking about what's going on with Kim Johnson. Lex comes back and he feels like there was some funky mojo, Haley.
Yeah, he's just following his gut again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're talking about plans that aren't going to happen. But eventually, T-Bird is going to tell Lex that Tom said not to trust Lex.
It was her Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it wasn't a lie, right? Like, that's... Tom did say that.
Did Tom say that?
Well, I don't know. I feel like
they
were getting to a point where Tom and Lex were starting to crack at the foundations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lindsay, Tom definitely said, if you want to vote out Lex, that's fine. I just can't be involved. But
yeah,
he does
kind of. Sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
Did he say, don't trust Lex?
Yeah, I don't know about that part. Like, we definitely see in All Stars that he kind of does that move again.
Yeah, that's his move. That's his move, yeah.
Yeah, just don't tell me about it. So, yeah, I think T-Bird kind of invents, like, the Tony move here, where she goes to Lex and is like, so I lied to you before, but I'm telling you the truth now, so you know that you can believe me about this thing I'm going to say. And it mm-hmm. seems to work. Like, Lex goes for it.
I think also it helps that Kim Johnson is also saying, like, oh, yeah, Tommy's talked to me a bunch of times about voting you off.
Mm-hmm.
Lex is very angry, not happy. Yeah. he's ready to cut his throat.
Yeah, loves cutting throats.
Mm-hmm. There's just so much like threatening of violence this season. A lot of violence of the innards and of the threatening variety.
Yeah, Lex's big throat cutter.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Very aggressive.
Yeah. So, ultimately, they vote off T-Bird.
Yeah.
Shame.
Mm-hmm. So, good run for T-Bird.
Excellent. She did, honestly, she did better than I remembered.
Mm-hmm.
She had the most strategy in this season, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to talk to her this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be good.
Okay. She's never watched the season.
What?
She won't watch it.
Maybe she should. It's really good.
And she looks great this season, too.
Yeah.
I know, and it's not all about looks, but she looks fantastic.
Okay. I was a little bit dreading going into the finale, also. I'm like, I feel like it's going to be a boring finale. Wasn't that bad.
That way too. I was like, not super dupes looking forward to it, yeah. But it did move along at a quick enough pace.
Yeah. I'll say I feel like that the finale... isn't bad. The reunion is boring.
Real boring.
The reunion is hot garbage.
Brutal.
Yes. Yeah. All right. But, you know, we open the finale with Lex is going to confront Tom about all this.
Good. We need some drama.
We got some drama for the finale, which is you don't always get. And so they're going back and forth. And then ultimately that Big Tom says that he absolutely did not say to not trust Lex. And then also he did say that they could vote for him.
Yeah, he's. I feel like there's that thing where it's like if the person won't explicitly say no when you ask them a question, like they're probably lying. Yeah. He almost overcorrects where he's like, "No, absolutely not. No way. No how. I didn't do it. No, no, no." And it's like, yeah. That's a little suspicious too.
Well, it's just so funny because I mean, this is like the exact scenario that happens to Tom in the All-Stars Final Five.
Yeah.
Except
yeah,
that,
he's got a pattern.
Yeah, it's just like that. We're like. Did you or did you not say, like, I absolutely didn't do, like, so the same thing, and but then you just don't have Rupert being like, Tom, you did. Yeah, so basically, this Lex, between Lex and Tom, they work it out, but for some reason, Tom won't shake Lex's hand.
Well, now we're not even supposed to shake hands, so.
Yeah, but that's fair. That's fair.
Well, it's weird, too, how they're both like in this weird back and forth. It's like essentially just like a pissing contest of like, I don't want you to feel like you carried me because I got here on my own. And they're both just being such babies about it. It's like, just shake again. It's fine. Like, yeah. There's four of you left. Yeah. Just stop.
Lex is like, oh, or Tom is like, well, I'm not going to shake your hand because I already shake your hand. I don't need to make another alliance. I already had an alliance. And Lex is all like, I don't want to feel like you're doing me a favor. And
like, whatever.
Stop it. Stop yeah. it. Just hug. Just hug.
Yeah. Give each other a hug. Yeah. 2020 is coming.
Come on. All right. We have our Fallen Comrades Challenge, and this is, of course, a major controversy.
Mm-hmm. Big controversy.
On the final question, that which survivor doesn't have their ears pierced?
Yeah, it's brutal that this is the last question. Mm-hmm. Like, if it wasn't the decider, it wouldn't be such a big deal. But
mm-hmm. Yeah. The story of Lex on Survivor is ultimately a tragedy.
Go on.
Many bad things happen to Lex on Survivor.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And there's a lot of times where it looks like it's a little bit like Lucy with the football, where it looks like things are going to go his way, and almost invariably the football gets pulled away from Lex.
Yeah, it's like kind of everything that can go wrong seems to go wrong for him, especially at the end. Like, even at the point where Kim says, like, Lex has won so many things. That's why he's not going to win the game. Mm-hmm.
and this is, you know, Lex has the right answer. Ultimately, yeah. That they say Kim has the right answer. Kim wins this immunity. She wins the final two with the final three immunity challenge, votes out Lex. But again, this is like another thing of like afterwards where they say, oh, no, you should have. We made a mistake on that one. That was a bad call.
Yeah. Do we need to set this story up more? Like, does everybody know this
please,
story?
Please, probably? tell the story.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like this is something for you to do. But so my understanding is that the question is, like, which survivor has no piercings, including their ears? And Kim says Kelly, which is correct. And Lex says Lindsay. And they say that's wrong. But then, like, after when it's airing, Lindsay's like, no, I...
So it's the finale. So I think that they're all together, like in the green room,
like live. They find
yeah,
this out.
And then yeah. Lex says Lindsay, and I think she's like, "Yeah, I don't have any piercings."
Yeah, and Lex probably was super pissed, right?
Yeah. I mean, he was pissed when T-Bird wrote his name down. Like, could you imagine how pissed he is over this?
I didn't realize it happened at the finale. I thought it kind of happened in between something.
I think it happened like, at the finale. What I believe is, and again, this is a little bit anecdotally, I believe that then both him and Tom got second place money also. And then
I
also
have,
sort
I've
of.
Also heard that.
Yeah. And then also, I'm not sure if it was sort of like a sort of handshake deal. And then if we have an All-Stars, then you guys will get to play also.
That makes sense. I mean, I feel like they're the two biggest characters from Survivor Africa, so they would have been a lock anyway, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is a bad break for Lex.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, I mean, there's no way of knowing what the next question would have been. Maybe he would have messed it up, but like, just to go out like that and then find out that you shouldn't have gone out, like, mm-hmm. even if you're not Lex, you're going to be mad. So I have to imagine he was quite furious.
Ugh, especially at the finale, too. That's pretty nutso.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And his bad night is going to be worse. Because he's going to go back to the camp. And this is, I mean, it's really a very sad day for Lex, because he is going to, Jeff is going to come at 4:30 in the morning. This happens in Marquesas also. But I guess Lex not only had the long fire watch shift of like watching out for the lions, but also had severe gastrointestinal distress where he was in the bathroom all night.
Yeah, 12 or 13 times in the night.
Yeah. Is this at nighttime, what is the bathroom situation in the BOMA? Do you leave the BOMA at nighttime? Like, we saw Clarence leave the BOMA, and I mean, but this is like, you are on the watch for lions who come out at nighttime. If you have to use the restroom at nighttime, like, are you leaving the BOMA? Do they have a special like nighttime like corner of the circle? Yeah.
Oh my god!
Can you add that to your list?
Yeah, put that on my list.
This feels very important.
Yeah. Nighttime bathroom.
Okay. Like, does he have to leave the safety of the BOMA 13 times and risk being eaten by a lion while experiencing severe gastrointestinal distress?
I don't know. Jeff comes in. All right. Get ready, everybody. We're going to a ritual.
Yeah.
And then Lex tells Jeff, like, listen, dude, the tummock, not doing so hot. You got a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is something that I really don't know the answer to this question. Does the show do a good job of highlighting the indigenous people here in this season? I really don't know what to do with these scenes where we're going to have this rite of passage. It seems like everybody's having a good time in the moment. I don't know what to do with it.
I think it's compelling, but again, it's like, is it a little voyeuristic? Is it a little like mm-hmm. highlighting, whoa, isn't it crazy what these people do?
Yeah.
I think they want to respect
mm-hmm.
The indigenous people here. Does it always come off as respect?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like they try to do a pretty good job of like, at least the castaways aren't like, whoa, this was like such a bizarre experience. They like try to get into it and seem to be mm-hmm. like appreciating the experience. And I feel like Jeff does a good job of setting it up as like, this is for you and this is an honor and you should take it as such. But like, yeah, I feel the same way of like, how do we discuss mm-hmm. it? Like, is it too voyeuristic? Like, is it othering?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure.
All right. So Hands on the Heart Idol is here. And so here we go. We start early in the morning and that sun is going to get hot. And I just feel for Lex so much in this. Like, he's like had this. And look, I can imagine this scenario where here you are 38 days into this game. And now it comes down to this. And he has been sick. He's not at his full capacity.
Devastating. And I hate to be like a sucks to suck person, but it's like getting sick is like kind of part of the game. Like, that's just one of the many elements you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And I would very much be upset if I was in Lex's position.
Yeah.
But That's the game sometimes. Sorry, bub.
Yep. Kim Johnson, she's just feel like she's rubbing it in a little bit. She's like, I'm just like on the beat. I'm baking in the sun, drinking my Planters punch. I feel great.
Yeah. Is that, I don't know if we've ever confirmed that story, but like Ethan seeing a cameraman throw up or something, and that's what knocked him over.
Yeah. I that would be another good question for Ethan about, did somebody get sick? And I don't know. Or like, was it, did it have to do with like, was Lex in a diminished capacity? And then does Ethan, we know his worst fear is vomiting. Did that have an impact on him?
Yeah, speaking for myself, this would have been a huge problem for me if that
is what happened. Yeah, the whole thing is not great.
I loved Ethan's Charlie Brown moment where he's like, hold on as long as you can, guys. You don't want to be here. It doesn't feel good.
He's very sad.
It sucks. Yeah. I wish I was there. Like, mm-hmm. Who is this?
Yeah. Ultimately, we're going to see Kim Johnson win the final immunity.
I feel like Ethan is in a little bit of the rich spot here where it's like, it's probably good he didn't have to make this choice. Like, if he took Lex, he's much less competitive. And if he votes out Lex, Lex is going to be pissed.
Yeah. I definitely don't think he tried to lose a lot.
No.
Yeah.
But I think it's good that he did.
It probably worked out for the best for him. Kim Johnson is going to be the swing vote here. She says at the tribal council, she's like, I almost wish I didn't have to be the one to make this decision. Almost. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, she's going to go to the final two with Ethan.
Would Lex have taken Kim?
That's a very interesting question. I think he would have, even if he would have, I think he would say he would have taken Ethan.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Lex would have beaten Ethan?
I mean, based on what T-Bird has said, I do believe that Lex would have won.
Yeah, you guys in EOS speculated that Ethan would have won. He kind of did the math on it, so it's interesting. But he would have been close.
I will defer to T-Bird on these things. Where I think that we've talked about if it was Lex versus Ethan, that she says Lex would have won. So sometimes you just are going off of what you see on television. You don't. Oh, yeah. This person actually hated this person. So
would Ethan have taken Kim? And if he did, would he have won? Like, would Lex have been pissed and not given him his vote? Like, would Tom have been more pissed about it?
I don't know. I think they all would say they were going to take the other people. Like, if you didn't betray the alliance, like in real life, like nobody ever says, like, oh yeah, I was totally going to betray the alliance.
Right.
Like admitting to a crime that you didn't actually commit. All right. Was it with the final tribal council?
Let's do it.
Yeah. I was really mad at Kelly's question. I'm not going to lie. I was on Kelly's side this whole season. She was fun. She had a great time. I was upset that she just like, it was like, man, pick a number. Like it was,
Ethan
like
wagged his finger at her, even at the reunion shows. Like I thought that Kelly would have taken it a little bit more seriously.
Mm-hmm. I do like her before that, though, when she's like, I didn't vote for stupid Lex. Just great delivery on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It still bothers me that Kim Johnson picks a number from 1 to 1,000 on Kelly's question, picks 3, and Ethan doesn't say 4.
So ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Terrible gameplay. Mm-hmm.
The Brandon thing is wild, too.
At the that Ethan thinks that Brandon is going to be the swing vote and then insults him.
Yeah, that Ethan tells us that I think the swing vote could be Brandon. And then Brandon has a question, which he tells us is just going to be like, he just wants to zing Frank. What does he ask him? He wants to know.
Who doesn't deserve to be beside you.
Yeah, I guess he wanted Ethan to say Frank, which I don't know, might have lost Frank's vote. And he says you. And then Brandon is incensed.
Yeah, like it's bad, but it's especially bad if he thinks that's the deciding vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we see Frank's question of what are the big five characteristics? Five is too many things to name, Frank.
Yeah. They both really struggle with it. Like, you can hear them being like, smarts, I guess.
Yeah. We talked about Kim Powers' question. Big Tom, I think that, you know, after doing some of these Talking with T-Birds, where I believe it was Dawn who first highlighted this about how drunk the Karamoan jurors were. I have a different read on Big Tom in the final Tribal Council here of Survivor Africa. I think he's hammered.
I story checks out. That feels correct. I would not have thought about it, but
yeah. Even his vote for Ethan, where he's like incoherent talking about Kim Johnson, I was like, all right.
Yeah, I don't even care if you heard me.
Yeah. He asks the question about that if a hyena ate the mush and licked his hiney, what would it be to get the taste of the mush? I like that they try to both like earnestly answer the question.
It wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
We didn't hate it as much as you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take it so seriously.
Yeah. Haley, what do you think about the cut from the Survivor Africa Final Tribal Council to secretly? I don't know if you noticed that they're actually on a soundstage in Los Angeles.
Rob, I can't even express to you how much I hate it.
You hate it so much.
And how mad I'd be if I were about to get presented with my $100,000 check and I had to wear a bandana as a shirt.
Yeah, why sure, do they do this?
That might look okay on me after 39 days. It doesn't look great on me current day.
Yeah.
And like, Tom just had to like keep not wearing a shirt with like a couple hundred people in the audience. I would have to say rude is probably the best adjective. Yeah,
they're gonna do this one more time in Thailand also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
why not Marquesas? Did they do that in Marquesas?
No, Marquesas was in New York.
Oh, it's too cold. Right, it was too cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't get me in Thailand because they had done it here. But like when they did this, I remember watching the live reunion like in the real time. This definitely got me. In fairness, I was 11, but I was completely convinced.
Yeah. It's like, boy, they do look weird. Yeah, they do look weird now.
They pull back and show the audience, and I was so scandalized. I was like, well, how long has this been going on?
I think they go to commercial, and they come back from commercial, and then they're in the studio. And then ultimately, we get that Ethan is the win. Two votes for Kim Johnson. By a win of 5-2, Ethan's the winner of Survivor Africa. So very exciting. Ethan gets a Chevy Avalanche too.
Wow! Yeah.
Oh, look at that. and so then Jeff's out. Here comes Brian Gumbel.
Yes,
what a mistake.
Swan song.
He's back one more time to talk with Ethan Zorn. Brian Gumbel seemed like he was into it, at least in the first one, but this is the third Survivor finale and he's over it.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, Rob, when we did the awkward reunion moments countdown, I had this up there of like Bryant trying to think of clever little like superlatives for each of the people and then ending with Ethan Zorn. Like, he's so bad.
I think he also butchers Carl's name also as I was listening to it. Like, I don't think he gets close to Balancion.
And
he was also very interested in the upper regions of all of the young women and whether or not they showed them in their application videos.
There's a lot of talk about their casting tapes.
Unedited footage in his trailer.
Yes. If you have sexy casting tapes, Brian Gumbel wants to know.
Why didn't we see Carl's casting tape?
That's not been sexy casting tape.
Not enough sexiness to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sexy Dr. Carol.
Yeah, but let's not explore Carl's sexy tape of him in the Porsche from the neck up. this is one of my looks that you'll see if you put me on the show. All right. The reunion show is very boring.
Brutal.
It's like a nap of an episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, contrast this to the one I watched last week with Rosie doing it, which is just all like nonsense, all shenanigans, which was also bad. But this just has no energy.
But at least like Rosie watched the season. It felt like Brian didn't even check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lindsay, any thoughts here from the reunion? I don't even know what to talk about.
Yeah, I don't know. There's basically nothing. The only other thing I have written down here is like, I feel like Bryant a lot of the time doesn't know what the hell Tom is saying. Like, he's got that look on his face that people have when they're like not really listening, and they're like, And he like just looks super confused. And it's like, anyway, moving on to someone else. Yeah, I agree with what Haley's saying. Like, I don't think he even watched the season.
Brian Gumbel wants to talk about the beans incident with Clarence.
That makes one of us.
Yeah. And then like Big Tom like doubles down on the if I had a gun, I'd shoot you. And Lex jumps in and is like, I'd slit his throat.
Yeah.
Also, Clarence like wasn't sitting on one of the benches. He was like on the stones in between the two benches.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
It was like some awkward placement. I don't know if it was just easier to put him there so then he could stand up and show his abs, or
maybe they knew he was going to go to the abs.
What did Lindsay's shirt say?
What did Lindsay's shirt say?
Yeah, it said no something.
Oh.
But I could never figure it out.
I don't know. Oh. Let me see if I can take a look. Clarence did have a great line about with the beans. He said, I haven't seen white people so mad since OJ got acquitted, which was... Yeah.
Work of art.
Clarence is very funny.
Maybe the MVP of this reunion.
Yeah, he might be. Because I mean,
the
nobody,
only bright spot.
Yeah, nobody else is, bringing that much stuff. We're talking about Big Tom's boil.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For a reason.
Gross.
Yeah. Okay. I liked Brian Gumbel's segments also of this is the friends and enemies segment.
Mm-hmm. He's a big cue card guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. After this, they pull the plug on Brian Gumbel reunion. All right. Should we talk about some questions?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. In this segment, we're calling it questions and answers. This is where we answer questions from the listeners of the Perdcast. Okay. So let's see. How about a question? Joy the Librarian wants to know, should we give Ethan credit for inventing the meat shield strategy?
Huh. From my perspective, I don't know that he necessarily had it as a strategy of like, I'm letting Lex take all the bullets for me. Because he was still willing to vote out Clarence and stuff. Like, it's not like he had a lineup of people.
So I do think that Ethan talked about, I remember him doing interviews talking about he wanted to be the assistant coach more than the like coach of the team, not the guy who plays in Survivor Tokachins. So I think that he didn't want to be the guy, wanted to be like the guy behind the guy. But I don't know necessarily if it was like as thought out as like, well, the meat shield is more like the people that are going to be out in front, like winning the challenges. I want them in front of me because they're going to be seen as the bigger threats. Like, I think for the Ethan, like the assistant coach was the idea of sort of like everybody hates their coach, but they love their assistant coach.
Yeah, I think he expected to be more of a challenge threat, though, than he was. Like, he wanted to get rid of Silas, he got rid of Clarence, and then he still didn't really win any challenges after that. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Cam with a C wants to know, if there was a fan favorite award for this season, who wins it? T-Bird, Ethan, or Big Tom?
Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could have been T-Bird, though. Only that that the person who goes out the night before the finale, like, does have a good showing.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a friend who I don't think has watched Survivor since this season, and, like, the only thing she remembers about Survivor is Tom Buchanan.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a big personality.
You're the star.
Yeah. So, like, I wonder, like, could Lex, Ethan, and Tom have split the same votes? And maybe T-Bird is a little bit of a different voting block. Okay. Brian Hickey wants to know, so is this Lindsay? I'm assuming we're talking about Lindsay Richter, not Lindsay Wilson. So is this Lindsay officially the Lindsay that doesn't suck? That I can only think of the Lindsays from Kageyan and Worlds Apart, and somehow season three Lindsay might be the best. That it blows my mind that that there were, like, in my head there was one other Lindsay. There's actually two other Lindsays. Yeah, this is the Lindsay that doesn't suck.
Yeah, I guess. They're all pretty bad.
Yeah, is Lindsay the worst Survivor name? Is there any other name that has appeared three times where the person has not made the merge?
Jeez, not that comes to mind. It's been a very, very poor showing for Survivor Lindsays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a lot of competition.
Yeah. Okay. You want to explore if Kim Johnson won Africa, how would she have done on Winners at War?
She would have won. She might have won.
Like 70
She's
years old.
She's a 7-year-old woman. She's almost 80.
Hey, give her a planter's punch and she's ready to go.
Oh my God.
I think she'd have a great time, honestly.
Okay. How about Joe Weaver says, if Lex wins this season instead of Ethan, how does Survivor history change? Does Ethan win All Stars because he isn't targeted the same way? How does Lex do in Winners at War?
Do you think Ethan gets called back for All Stars if he doesn't win? Because I feel like Lex and Tom are the locks, and I don't know if we would need Ethan.
His edit wouldn't have been as good. Also, yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah,
it's too late for me to to go through that kind of mental
brain melting thoughts. Yeah,
I feel like people didn't have warm feelings about Lex, and I think Ethan's win was very well received because he was the nice guy. And I think we were still at the point where it would have been oh my God, the bad guy won this game, and I don't know that people would have appreciated that so much.
Yeah, would Boston Rob have asked Lex to protect Amber on the other tribe in Winners at War? You take care of her. I'll take care of you if you can. All right. You got
it. Again, my brain is goop.
I wish I could have done this for you 13 years ago, but I'm going to do it now.
Because I probably would have voted Lex out earlier, and then he's not there for this, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our whole lives would be different. Rob, your life would be
different. Everybody's life would be different.
Would Rob have won Survivor All-Stars?
Probably.
You wouldn't even be here with us.
There was no scenario you can work out where I'm going to win Survivor All-Stars.
That's the spirit.
Yeah. Nobody. If I find four people there that want to give me $1 million. Ryan Jenna. Patterson says, is there another season with a better trifecta of rewards segments? The bartering goats trip with Lex and Ethan, the movies with Frank and Brandon, and the hot air balloon with Lex and Tom. You know, in Marquesas, we talked about last week, there's a couple of big rewards that really do eat up a lot of time on the show. When Pascal and Sean go to the Marquesan celebration, when Nalia and Pascal go on the cruise ship. I don't know if there's three, though.
I feel like some of them in Micronesia were good. I love the island hopping.
Really great rewards. They make really great use of the scenery here in Survivor Africa.
Yeah. They're all great.
Yeah. Mike wants to know, I was surprised to see this rank better than Marquesas. After watching them back-to-back, albeit backwards chronologically, what are your thoughts? What is the better season, Marquesas or Africa? Well, similarly, both seasons have pretty feisty pre-merge. Both seasons like culminate with like their best episodes around episode 8, episode like right after the merge. That's where all the action is. Then both seasons have a quiet finish to the season. It's very close. Marquesas has more action at the end of the game with everything that's going on. I give the slight nod to Africa, but I think it's splitting hairs between Africa and Marquesas.
Yeah, no, I think I agree. I was thinking, I have always found the fact that like Lex, Tom, and Ethan as three of the final five, like I've always found that very satisfying that they get to the end and he kind of like, yes, Lex goes out, but you've still got Ethan in there in the finals. Whereas I remember thinking like, oh, like Kathy's gone. Like now who do I vote for? Mm-hmm. And like ultimately I was rooting for V after that, but I was rooting so hard for Kathy that it felt like a bit of a letdown when she gets voted out. Whereas in this case, I was like happy to have either Lex or Ethan at the end. So I think like that's going back 20 years. That's how I was feeling at the time where I found that way more satisfying. And I think now I think I prefer that ending still, but it is super close. Like you still have great characters in both. Like you've got Sean, who's certainly better than Kim.
I think that's the intrigue about like, is anybody going to make the move against Lex? Is I think a more interesting story than like, you really see the world through Kathy's eyes in Marquesas. And I feel like that, it's like, can Kathy find a different lane is like not, I think, as compelling of a story as, you know, is Lex going to have a downfall?
Yeah, like Pascal and Aaliyah in there. It's like, who cares?
So I'll give the edge to Africa, but I enjoyed Marquesas also. How would T-Bird have done Second Chances? Any thoughts on this?
I feel like she would have done well after seeing her on Survivor Africa. How she really did have a strategic mind. I think a lot of people would have really liked her. I don't think a lot of people would have been threatened by her, but I do think she would have been able to pull her weight in the early portion of the game. Mm-hmm. I think she could, it's hard though, because Second Chances was kind of messy at the end.
Who's she replacing? Monica?
Sure.
Oh my God.
I feel like she does better than Monica.
Monica was on Second Chances. You're lying.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. No, you're lying to me.
Monica Padilla.
Did Monica play three times?
No, Padilla, only two.
Not Culpepper.
Oh.
Monica Padilla, yeah.
Still. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You didn't even remember she played once.
No.
So. Okay. Monica. Let's get to our survey.
Woo.
Okay. Let's talk about what's going to happen with how the fans voted about this season. Okay. Who was the season's MVP?
Lex.
Yes. 50% of the voters said Lex. 28% said Ethan. 12% said T-Bird. Which one-time player would you like to see come back and play in a future season?
Okay. It's T-Bird, right? Or Clarence. These are the two. It's got to be T-Bird.
Yeah. It was a blowout. 72% for T-Bird. 14% for Kelly Goldsmith. 7% for Clarence. Okay. Which name in this list made you pause and think to yourself, wait, who's that?
Carl every time. Who is Carl?
Is this like a Jeopardy response?
Who is Carl?
Mm-hmm. This is the most unrecognizable contestant in Survivor Africa.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Who is Carl?
No, that is the second most unrecognizable contestant in Survivor Africa. Lindsay.
who is Jesse.
Yes, I like that from now on, the answer needs to be in the form of a question for this one.
Who's that?
Yeah. Okay. Who was the most underrated player of the season?
T-Bird?
It was T-Bird, 36%. Who was the Kelly Wentworth Award for best pre-merge boot? This is a tough one.
Oh.
Lindsay.
Yeah, because Clarence gets hosed because he's not in consideration, right?
Yep. Yep. Haley's got it. It's Lindsay. All right.
Nice.
Out of the 40 seasons, with one being the best winner and 40 being the worst, where did the listeners rank Ethan on average?
14.
I'm going to say 21.
Okay. Lindsay is closer. It's 20.4. So that makes Ethan the 10th best winner. So he is a percentage points behind Sophie and just ahead of Vesepia.
Wait, can you explain that to me again?
So we've asked the listeners every week to rank the winners from one to how good of a win, like where would you rank Ethan on your winner ranking?
Okay.
1 through 40. We get an average of all of the votes. Ethan's average was 20.38. That makes him have the 10th highest average of the 20 winners we've talked about.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Kim has the highest score. She was ranked 5.88 on average.
Okay, great.
Chris Underwood has the worst. He was had an average of 35.52 by the listeners.
Wow.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Okay.
Can't imagine anyone's going to be lower.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. But Ethan, the 10th best winner as according to this is a good stat, I think. Okay.
10th best winner as of right.
Perceived by the listeners. Yes.
What we've covered, right? Not in general. Mm-hmm. 20th best in general.
Well, the 10th best of the 20 season, the worst 20 seasons.
Yeah.
There's 20 seasons we haven't polled the audience about yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're halfway through the countdown.
Right. Okay. I got it. Because they didn't rank all the winners at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Congratulations, Rob. You're halfway.
We're minutes away.
Can you believe that?
I can't because it feels like I started this in the first week of January.
There's still so much more to do.
There's still so much more to do.
You've come so far, but you're so far away.
But this is now the sweet spot of now I get to talk about the best 20 seasons of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. That's something. It's just weird to think about. Like I've sat here the last 20 Wednesdays talking about old Survivor seasons for 3 and 4 hours at a clip.
Yeah, truly wild.
It's like, what have you done this year? Well, I've talked about a lot of Survivor. Okay. I mean, we're deep into 2021 now.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody noticed. Okay, the rewatchability rankings. So I'll say that I got to put this. I said I gave this is I said it was a little bit better than Marquesas, so I have to put it one spot ahead of Marquesas. Make it the 5th best season I've watched in the year 2021. And again, these are just my rankings of how I felt watching the season. This was not a chore to get through this week. Okay.
I probably won't watch it again for another 10 years.
Yeah. Watch it every 10 years. Okay. All right. What do you think is going to be next week's season? What is the first season that we're going to talk about in the top half of the rankings?
Cook Islands.
Well, that's a good guess. I was thinking, I feel like nobody's talking about Koh Rang, and I feel like it's time.
Could sneak in. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and tell you the audience predicts 27% of the audience thinks it will be the Australian Outback.
Mm.
22% thinks it will be Cook Islands. 13% thinks it will be San Juan del Sur. All right. I could tell you it's going to be one of those three. All right. We are going to the Outback.
Wow. Wow. This four, is a, three, two,
yeah,
really?
This is a wild part of the countdown. I mean, we started with Vanuatu 3 weeks ago. So we had a like an older season. And then 3 weeks in a row, Marquesas, Africa, Australian Outback. We are Benjamin Buttoning the first couple of years of Survivor. I will watch season four, season three, and now season two all in a row. That is going to be with Amy Chan and Chappelle. So that's coming up next Wednesday night. Programming note that I will be taking 1 week away from the top 40 countdown. Taryn Armstrong is going to be here in my place to talk about the 19th best season of Survivor as I am moving, coming up here. That's all I do is watch old Survivor seasons and pack. Potting and packing. That's the big P's.
What a combo.
Yeah. So I'll have one more for you, the 20th best season of Survivor, and then Taryn Armstrong will be taking you through the 19th best season of Survivor in 2 weeks, and then I will be back with you for the 18th best season of Survivor. Let me tell you a little bit about what else is coming up here on RHAP. All right. Clarence Black will join us on Talking with T-Bird. Can't wait to catch up with Clarence. Lindsay, Clarence has one of the most famous appearances on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast of all time as well.
Yes, famously. Loves Akiva.
Loves Akiva. Yes, yes. Okay. So we will see. Clarence could be on a roll, and I could be in for a roasting coming up.
Are you going to bring Akiva?
I don't know. Yeah, be on the lookout for that. We had so much fun on Tuesday night this week. Mike Bloom, Chappelle, and I, we did a out-without playout list of Survivor's greatest GIFs. And it was a lot of fun. Watch the video. See what came in. Haley, do you have any favorite Survivor GIFs?
Do I have any favorite? Oh my gosh, you're putting me on the spot here.
It's okay if you don't.
I can't think of any. Again,
how about you, Lindsay?
So I already listened to it this morning, so I feel like I'm cheating. Mm-hmm. There were a bunch that you guys mentioned that I had never actually thought about, like the Angelina one where she's doing the mm-hmm. ladder thing. Like that, yeah. That was pretty
That's
good.
That's me never trying that to get before. Through the Survivor Top 40 season countdown.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We got one more piece of Chappelle news that I will be talking about. Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, of course. People have been dying for me to talk about this. So we're going to talk about Love and Hip Hop Atlanta on the RHAP Rewind with Sasha Joseph is going to join Chappelle and me. We're talking about season one, episode four of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. I'm going to watch it in the RHAP Patreon Discord first. And then see what's going on there as we continue to watch classic episodes of reality TV with Chappelle on the RHAP Rewind. It's so much fun with Haley a couple of weeks ago and Shannon Gus talking about America's Next Top Model.
That was so good.
A classic. 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After. Puya and I are having a lot of fun there. So check that out if you follow that TLC show. And then I also got to speak this week with Sean Clements from the Hollywood Handbook podcast. He has been binging all sorts of different Survivor seasons. Check out our conversation there with a very funny guy, Sean Clements from Hollywood Handbook. Tuesday night, I will be back with the patrons, the new patrons of RHAP. It's our monthly orientation meet and greet where I'm going to walk the patrons through all of the features of being a patron and then also do a little Q&A meet and greet, get to say hello to our newest patrons. Existing patrons are welcome to pop in as well. Invitation will be coming soon on Patreon. Of course, so much going on Patreon, including our weekly feedback show this weekend. Be on the lookout for Amanda Danforth and Ariel Gomez talking more about Survivor Africa, plus patron 5 for 5, everything with the patron community, so much more at robinswebsite.com/patron. Of course, catch any offers from our sponsors at robinswebsite.com/offers, and you can also hit the subscribe button if you're watching us here on YouTube or however you get your favorite podcast, and be sure to check out our social media accounts, including the RHAP Instagram, where our hosts have been taking over like Haley Strong did a couple of weeks ago.
I had so much fun.
Yeah. What'd you make that day?
I made cheddar buttermilk biscuits, and then I made a breakfast sandwich on the biscuit.
Wow. Amazing.
It was good. Yeah. I love a biscuit.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Scott. All right. Lindsay, of two podcasts, what's coming up for you?
Yeah, so we've got Simpsons Then and Now. We are talking about an old episode and a new episode every couple of weeks. We just released our 50th episode, so very excited about that. Yeah, so it's very exciting. And then the great Kirsten McInnes and I, every week we are talking about BoJack Horseman on BoJack Horsepod. We're starting to hit some very heavy episodes, so join us over
there. There's heavy episodes of BoJack Horseman?
Oh my God, Rob, it is like the most depressing show in all the land, but it is also incredibly moving and very powerful. So we are trying to walk that line. Yes.
I didn't even know this.
Yeah, I know. It's a show about like weird horse stuff, but also it is about, you know, depression and mental health and all kinds of good stuff.
Wow. Okay. I should check it out.
Yes. With that, big endorsement from me, BoJack Horsepod.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lindsay, where can people, are you, on the social media? I know you're on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. That's it. And, barely now. I am not on Twitter, and every day I feel like it's a great decision.
Such a good decision. So good.
Never regret it even once.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
Well, Lindsay, always fun to get to talk with you about, Survivor. And, this was, so great of you, spending so much time with us tonight.
It was such a blast. I'm so happy I got to do this. Very, very much enjoyed it.
Okay. Haley Strong, what's next for you?
What's next for me?
We're going to start texting.
We're going to start texting. I'd say every 1 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. What is up for me? Top Chef podcast with Kurt Clark and LaTanya Starks. We're having a rip-roaring great time over there. The Bachelorette starting in about 2 weeks. I can't believe it. Our hiatus is coming to an end. And there's been a lot of news going on in Bachelor Nation. So Amy and I might be back even before then with like a little news update. Other than that, I'm just, you know, chilling, hanging out, staring at things, listening to other things.
Staring at things?
Yeah.
What are you staring at?
The computer. Oh. The TV.
Not the sun,
Nintendo,
right?
Nintendo Switch. No, yeah. I'm not that dumb. but if you want, unlike Lindsay, have made the bad decisions to join Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to follow me there, at @hstrong_. And if you like books and or reading or and or looking at pictures of books, well, follow me on my Bookstagram at The Strong Library on Instagram.
Wow. Okay.
My latest review is about The Flight Attendant, which is now a show. So if you watch the show.
And T-Bird's a flight attendant.
Exactly. I hope she's not this kind of flight attendant.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen the show. All right. So thank you so much for watching us. Hopefully you checked out parts 1 and 2. We'll be back next week for our Survivor Australia panel, the Australian Outback. And then, of course, check out Talking with T-Bird with Clarence coming up later this weekend. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.